This ASAP Athletic Strength and Power podcast is brought to you by the CBD Healthcare Company. Discover their premium products crafted for your well-being and get on board with the specialized sports products that can unleash the power of CBD. Check out their complete line of CBD products, including my favorite, the NSF Certified Massage and Body Oil with lemongrass. And after the surgery that I endured, these CBD products by the CBD Healthcare Company have been a tremendous relief and a definite aid in my comeback. Check out all their products at www.cbdhealthcarecompany.com.
This is Ed Zicali with Athletic Strength and Power Podcast. Joining me today from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I believe it's a Whole Foods there. And it's Ethan Reeve. He's joining us. He's a longtime strength and conditioning professional. He also coached wrestling. He was a wrestler himself coming up through grade school and then at the collegiate level at the University of Tennessee. But we're going to let him give us a little bit of background on himself, and then we're going to get rolling. We're going to talk about some coaching aspects and how to get your athletes in the peak condition. You know, it starts at an early age. It started at an early age for you, Ethan.
Yeah, it did. I mean, wrestling has always been a big part of my life since seventh grade. And I've always done strength training, push-ups, the chin-ups and stuff. Got into a little bit of the Olympic lifting at the collegiate level when I was at the University of Tennessee, and used that basically when coaching my wrestlers. And I coached wrestling for about 13 years or more, and then got into strength and conditioning. But my thing was I took a lot of the philosophy that I took from wrestling and then applied a lot of that to coaching, you know, athletes. Yeah. There's a big factor for me is yes, I want to make them more athletic. I'll be as honest with you that I love Olympic lifting, powerlifting, bodybuilding, kettlebells, medicine balls, all the speed, agility, all of it. Anything that's going to make our guys or gals more athletic, I want to use. But I don't use that. Like, we have standards in our training. Like, you know, like we'll say football. If I'm a high school football strength coach, I'm going to do maybe power clean to 225. That would be a standard for us. Hang clean to 225. And what I try to do is get more kids doing those standards. Front squat at 225, back squat at 250, deadlift at 300, whatever that standard is. Then my job is to get more kids doing that. Because if my average athletes can beat your average athlete, then we're going to win. And that's the way I was in the wrestling room. I mean, if you had 10 weight classes, I wanted all my 10 guys to step up the mat and be tough and competitive. So I applied that a lot to strength training at the high school and collegiate level.
Wrestling and strength training, they kind of married to each other the way they're, you know, it's all like they go hand in hand.
Really do. I, you know, if I could give advice to a high school football coach, I'd say, hey, look, take your offensive line, your defensive line, your linebackers, your tight ends and fullbacks, and if they're not playing basketball, they're going to be on the rest of the team because it's going to help them to be more athletic, to be tougher, more physical, have that kinesthetic and spatial awareness, that body awareness they need out on the football field. And football and wrestling together, those two sports together, I'm telling you, you're a tough individual. You can do both roles.
Now, you, we've talked before, and you started a lot earlier than the average kid. You actually, something propelled you to, you know, do running and then like I guess you were in sixth grade and doing all kinds of running at seventh grade, same thing. Push-ups, you were doing push-ups and sit-ups like crazy. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what motivated you to do that as a sixth grader? Most sixth graders, seventh grader aren't into that.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough thing. I mean, I was in the grade school and I was using, remember the springs, the chest pull, that kind of stuff, the hand grippers and doing chin-ups. And we had, in physical education, we were doing the climbing boards, you know, with the pegs.
Oh, yeah, the pegs.
Rope. Dip. Yeah, we did all those kind of things. And we did that in physical education. I don't know what got me into running, but my idol is a guy named Jim Ryan, who's a miler from University of Kansas. And I, by the sixth grade, I was running 6 miles a day. I started running when I was in the third grade, and I, you know, I just loved it. And then in the seventh grade, I got into wrestling. And then, I mean, for about 5 years, eighth grade through 12th grade, I was doing 500 push-ups a day. I had a way of doing it so that they were good. Try to do perfect push-ups when you're doing it. It really helped me in my wrestling and football and anything else.
High school wise, you wrestled in Ohio. It's a powerhouse of a lot of the kids that are involved in wrestling programs in Ohio go on and wrestle collegiately. Just an incredible thing. It all culminates in Columbus, Ohio, with the state championships. You were involved in that too. Tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, in high school, you know, we really didn't have a weight room, but I'd go to the YMCA and I was getting up like at 3:15 every morning, and I was doing 500 push-ups, 100 chin-ups, doing that kind of stuff. A lot of gymnastic type stuff, body calisthenics. I thought that really did help me. Of course, we also did a lot of farm work and harvesting for hay and baling hay and did that kind of stuff to get strong. We didn't really have a program. You're talking about the late 60s, early 1970s. And even at the University of Tennessee, where I went to school, you know, we had a weight room, but it was just a couple of platforms and some bars. And I actually learned how to do the lifting from a lot of our throwers. The throwers on the track team were really good at weightlifting. And they taught us how to do it, taught me how to do it. So.
Yeah. Now, you know, as a coach and for our coaches out there, we got a lot of listeners. They come into our podcast, they're coaches, and a lot of them, of course, are working with the high school athletes and some of the younger athletes. Where do you start? What's a starting point, you know, age-wise, and then what kind of exercises do you like throwing out? Not, you know, you definitely like the body weight exercises with things like that, but, you know, what age and what are some of the exercises that you throw into your program?
Yeah, if I was running, let's say I had a system from first grade through the 12th grade for a lot of these high school coaches, how you bring them along, my feeling is physical education would, you know, where they were climbing ropes, doing pegboards, doing chins and dips and body weight squats and lunges and doing tumbling every day and doing a lot of speed work and ladders and agility drills and things. From the first through at least the fifth grade, I would continue with some of that, but I'd start introducing the sixth grade. I'd start introducing like kettlebells and dumbbells. And even with those kettlebells and dumbbells, squatting movements, Olympic weightlifting movements, you know, but lightweight, none of this is heavyweight. It's more about the technique. Teach them technique, how to do things correct. And if you put it in your program, then you want to make sure that it's in your program. You coach it, you teach it, and then you correct it if it's not right. You can't just watch kids do things wrong. You've got to step in and help them get it right. And then in the seventh grade, I would start including the barbell, and I would start teaching how to, you know, how to press, how to squat, how to pull, how to do cleans and jerks and snatches. Again, with appropriate weight. In their seventh grade and eighth grade, it's more about their technique. Now, some kids can handle a little more weight. You want to let them do that.
Yeah.
But it's not about limit weight. You're not trying to get that kind of thing. It's just like with high intensity training, the one set to failure. I don't really, that's not really what I'm trying to do. Mine is more to develop athleticism and teaching them technique. And what I found was that if you teach them difficult things, then once they master those things, everything else becomes easy. And the other most important thing about it is if I teach them difficult things in the weight room, then what happens is I have a coachable and teachable athlete. And that's what every sport coach wants. He wants somebody that's going to observe the way you're teaching something and then emulate what you're teaching. So don't do easy things in the weight room. Do things that are difficult. There's a challenge to them and get them to master those skills.
I spent some discussions with a veteran strength and conditioning coach. His name's Joe Kent. And he talks about the process of slow cooking his athletes taking it from step one, even when they got to the collegiate level, that he was spent some time a lot of collegiately before he went on and did things in the NFL. But these players would come in on day one in June or whatever, whenever they'd get there, and he would almost go back to day one and just really making sure that these guys know exactly the form and the techniques that are involved in that particular exercise. And he was also really big on getting the athletes constantly, no matter what they were doing, like you're saying, a lot of athletic type of moves, but he was really into that athletic position.
Yeah.
He would constantly have athletes, you know, working out of that type of a position and then going from there. But that's why he liked a lot of the things they did.
Well, you know, it's Joe and I agree on a lot of things. My thing is that we're training athletes, and the big thing is whatever we're doing has to transfer to the athleticism of the athlete, into the skill of their sport. If it's not doing that, it's not always a strength coach's fault. It might be the athlete. It might be the coach. How do they teach the skill of the sport? And that's something that I really have nothing to say about. Mine is to make them as athletic as possible and then encourage them to really focus on the sport skill. And hopefully they can transfer that. But I don't really do that. My thing is to, again, make them more athletic. So if I'm running a workout, we do athletic warm-ups. So we will tumble, do gymnastic type things, tumbling. We will do hip mobility, hurdle drills, agility drills, you know, anything that makes them athletic off the platform, off the lifting. And then what we do is we have a little warm-up that we'll do with resistance. And it could be with a kettlebell, a barbell, that kind of stuff. And that's all prior to when we start doing our lifts. And then I just believe in doing athletic lifting. But we have to do some training where they're going to get strong. You got to get them stronger too. But the emphasis is more everything about athleticism. And then I always try to finish with something athletic as well.
You know, one of the cool things about, you know, you were involved a lot with wrestling. But one of the cool things that you probably found is the fact that wrestling, the actual nature of the sport, the actual out on the mat doing a practice or during, an actual competition is it's almost like a strength training workout in itself, because you're out there and you're almost every one of your muscles is you're using every one of those muscles in a pattern, and it's not a fixed pattern. It's kind of like a pattern that you're just constantly, you know, shifting and readjusting, and it's kind of a strength training workout in itself. Agree?
It is. Yes. I mean, wrestling is a tough sport. I know it only lasts 6 minutes in high school, 7 minutes at the collegiate level, but it is pure anaerobic endurance. And there, it is tough to get through it. If you've ever wrestled before, you know the feeling. And anytime I see those ears on those young guys,
yeah,
those are the guys I'm going to, hey, come on over here, put a hand around them. Hey. Or make them my friends. I don't want them to be my enemies.
Well, I got brought into the fire when I was at Ohio State as a physical education student. We had to take a wrestling course, and let's just say, you know, it wasn't one of the easy courses. It was the opposite of anything that was deemed easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But either way, I will tell you, wouldn't it be great if every kid had to go through at least once or twice a 4-week course in physical education in wrestling? And had to do maybe in high school before, and to understand how that feels, what it's like to wrestle and roll around. It's such a great tool. And look how popular wrestling has become with the women in this country.
It's
the fastest growing sport in the country. It is really a great sport for all of them. My daughters would have wrestled, but back in those days, wrestling, it was guys and gals wrestling, and we didn't put them in wrestling. They played soccer, and I would have loved them to wrestle.
Yeah, of course, for our listeners, we do have to remind our listeners that, Ethan, you were a SEC champion at the University of Tennessee, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was full-time I was four-time SEC champ. Yep.
Four-time SEC champ. So, you know, SEC, we know all about the SEC. It just means more, what they say on their commercial.
Yeah.
It does. It seems to. They really get after it. You know, after you had your collegiate experience at the University of Tennessee down there in Knoxville, then you, I believe you headed over to Chattanooga?
Yeah, when I finished in 77, I stayed a couple of years in pub, our coach, Gray Simons, at the time for 2 years, and I was went back to my high school, but I really spent a few years during my 20s to basically study other wrestling coaches. I'm a big believer in having mentors and having people that you around you that can help you and stuff. Look, the term in wrestling is champions come in pairs. You'll never be a champion by yourself. You better have a good workout partner and partner with you. So my thing is to have those guys that are really good at what they did and then follow up and learn from them. And I spent my 20s doing it. But when I was 30, then I got the job, head coaching position. That was back in 84, and that was at University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
I got you. And then that worked out great for a while, and then you saw an opportunity at, I believe, Ohio University, was it? Is that where?
I spent about 5 years at a high school where I was kind of a co-coach, but I also was an assistant athletic director and the first director of strength and conditioning at this prep school in Chattanooga. And then in 95, I went to Ohio University to become the first director of strength and conditioning at Ohio University.
Now, at that high school level, you probably sat these guys down, these girls, and started talking about the techniques involved in clean, hang cleans, front squats, deadlifts, some of the things you mentioned. Are there certain ages that you go with, or you're starting at such a light weight that, you know, it teaches the actual techniques that you're looking for?
Yeah. Look, it's just like what Joe Ken would tell you. I mean, you start with your body weight, go to the bar, the kettlebells, dumbbells, and you teach technique with a little more resistance. And then you can add a little more. But it has to be age appropriate. I don't really worry so much about the weight. Eventually, I want to see a little bit of straining. They have to, in order to get stronger, you can have to put enough weight on there to actually feel it. But
right.
If I will share this. This is, I do a thing called density training that I started developing from doing the push-ups and chins and power cleans and all that. But if you look at the range, like you have speed is like from 10% to like 65% or whatever it is. And then from about 70 to about 82.5%, 85% is what we call power. That's the power zone. And then you have 95 to 100, which is strength, peaking strength, you know, into your one rep mat. If you spend all your time at the 85% and above, you're going to get a little more powerful. You'll definitely get stronger. But what happens is you're moving the bar so slow, you're training slower. But down, you're not going to get a lot faster. If you spend all your time at speed, in the speed zone, you'll get faster and you'll get a little bit more powerful, but you're not really increasing your strength.
What are some of your go-to kettlebell exercises?
I like the kettlebell swing.
Uh-huh.
I like the kettlebell clean to a press. I like the kettlebell snatches.
Okay.
I like a kettlebell like clean or a thruster like a clean to a press. I mean, squat to a press. And I like it doing, usually, if I can, as much as I can, one hand and one kettlebell. Now, the swings, you use two hands. But what happens is that forces you to balance and get stronger on both sides of the body or around the body.
Yeah. And all this, you can start incorporating this late ninth grade, 10th grade, definitely.
You can do kettlebells in the sixth grade. And just keep it light. And just, again, work on more technique. Well, you want to teach the techniques when they're weak, when they're really weak. So they have to use good technique in order to do it.
Yeah.
And you teach them that way.
Okay. And then along your career, you ended up at Ohio U, down in Athens, Ohio, with the Bobcats.
That's right.
And then Yeah, 6 years there. And then you moved into the, I guess it's the ACC with Wake Forest.
Yes. Yeah. So Wake Forest for about 16 or 17 years. I can't remember, but it's quite a few years. I was the director of strength and athletic performance there for 1 year. Yeah. Great. I've had some great experiences. Great stuff.
Yeah. Athleticism. You talk a lot about athleticism and developing athleticism. And you use a lot of those exercises to actually, you know, rather than they're just sitting there, maybe sometimes, you know, machine work, you're kind of just sitting there, maybe doing an overhead press or whatever, seated position. But then you really like the, you know, incorporating the standing and on the ground. Is that something you would?
Well, especially when they're young. When they can do these things, teach them those skills when they're very, look, there was a bodybuilder named Mike Mentzer. Uh-huh. And he wrote a book, and his last book that he wrote that he proved 2 weeks before he died. Hmm. There was a chapter in there, and he talked in a couple of the paragraphs about the importance of a clean and a press, overhead press. And he says, that's the first thing that they should learn how to do a clean to a press. Now, I'm asking the audience, I said, who do you think said this? Everybody saw Boyd Epley, this Olympic lifter, this Olympic weightlifting coach. I said, no, Mike Mentzer. And he approved this book 2 weeks before he died. But he was actually on a platform doing a clean and a jerk. And everybody think, oh, well, he's high intensity. He said, but he doesn't disagree about doing those kind of lifts, especially when you're young. Now, as you start getting older, look, you want to maintain strength in your joints. Any kind of resistance is going to be good, you know, doing something. But especially when you're young, you should be able to move that weight with power and athleticism.
You know, one exercise you've already brought up and that you can definitely get them kicked off at the middle school level is the lunge and the walking lunge. And
oh, yeah.
Backward back step lunge, the front foot elevated rear lunge. If you can't expand on some of those lunge exercises, it's the equipment is so that you need is so you don't hardly need any. You need a couple of kettlebells or some dumbbells or whatever.
Well, I'll give you an idea. My wife was doing one of the steppers, and she's on the stepper, and she's all bent over, and but she could go forever on the thing. And I took her over to where I was just at Macaulay School in Chattanooga. I said, let's walk these steps. See how you feel. Totally different when you do that than a stepper that's actually doing the work for you. So yeah. We got her up there. She was doing, and oh my gosh, she said she felt her legs and her hips and everything else. Look, if those kids can do walking lunges and they do a lunge where they step out and step back, they can do back step lunges, side lunges. It's like, that stuff is so good for these kids to do. You know, it's very athletic. And when you put that foot down and all that weight's on that way, eventually you can add weight to that, but I don't get really caught up with body weight. Actually, like if you're doing a chin up, my thing, doing chins is tough enough. I don't think you need to add all the weight to it. If you can do a chin up, good for you. Because there are a lot of people that can't do one chin-up. And so my thing is, I just like that. I love that they did a study, I think, in the Soviet Union. They found that their best wrestlers were the ones that got in a stance, and then they dropped down to their chest, belly, thighs on the mat and got up the quickest back to that stance. The ones that did that the quickest were their better wrestlers. They're athletic.
All right.
Getting on the ground and get back up. It's so athletic. Doing a forward roll, getting up, and making a move. Those are things that are very athletic. That kinesthetic and spatial awareness is so important. So important. But doing body weight, it starts with doing body weight things.
And you got to start them. Yeah, the younger, the better. Especially in these day and age. You know, these kids are scrolling on their Instagrams more than they're, you know, rolling on a mat.
Well, you can start this before kindergarten. They can start how to do a crab crawl and a bear crawl. It's not to burn them out. That's one thing I have to say with these coaches. don't do so many reps where you're trying to break it. It's not a conditioning thing. It's an athleticism thing. And if we're doing it incorrectly, correct them and get them to do it right.
Excellent. Yeah, I like it. And then so Wake Forest, and you went from Wake Forest, and then you believe you did some things with the CSCCA.
I was on the board of directors for the CSCCA for 10 years. I was the president of the CSA for my last 5 years. And then, but during that time, I came back to Chattanooga, and I was kind of a mentor in wrestling. And I started helping a little bit with strength conditioning. And I was back in Chattanooga where I started coaching wrestling. Okay. And so it was a great fit. And then they asked me to be director. So I was a director for about 2 years. And then I got on with Mondo after that. So it was a great career. It was fun. My thing is now to do like what we're doing right now. Anything I can do to help coaches, because those coaches are going to affect thousands and thousands of kids, hopefully in a positive way. But anything I can do to help them philosophically, planning, organization, whatever, you know, I'm here to help any way I can.
Coach, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now. What do you got to do nowadays and using all the what you learned over the years and everything, and what you have to do now?
Well, I basically, my job is, I don't really sell the flooring. We have dealers and salespeople that do that. I try to make the connection with the strength coach. And then what I'll do is some universities, I'll go in and talk to their interns, do a PowerPoint presentation. I might, you know, whatever we can do, GAs, assistant coaches, take people to lunch and that sort of, and introduce them to our dealers and our salespeople. Mine is to give them a little bit of education on our flooring and what we're doing with our flooring that can help the strength coach. And that's really kind of what I'm doing. But I go to state high school clinics. I go to national conventions and all that sort of, just to meet coaches, talk with strength coaches. And
a lot, about, a lot of relationship building and trying to develop some trust with a lot of the coaches that are out there and giving them getting your message across about what your company does.
I was one of them. I was starting out at Ohio University. 650 athletes, 700 athletes. There was me and a VA. So I'd be there at 5:30 and like 7 o'clock at night. Very tough. Yeah. And I loved it. Did that for about 6 years and then got on at Wake Forest. When I walked in Wake Forest, they only had 440 athletes and I had two assistants. I thought I was in heaven. But oh my gosh, this is great. But when I left about 8 years ago or so, we had like 13 strength coaches, a couple of nutritionists. And so it's growing and more people are getting involved, but it's still the same thing. You have to teach and you have to coach.
For some of the young coaches that are and athletes that are out there listening to our podcast today, if they wanted to get in touch with you or whatever and talk to you about training, because you've got a wealth of knowledge about this, would they go through like, do you have social media? Do you have email? You know, what's a good way to get a hold of you? Should they look up my Mondo, or what should they do?
I'll give you my email right now. It's ereve@mondousa.com. So ereve@mondousa.com. They'll contact me. I sometimes somebody will contact me. I'll go right to their school. I go talk to the coach, take them to lunch or breakfast or whatever it is, and just try to get to know them. I'll try to answer any questions I can. If they want to send me videos for me to review, if they want to send me workouts and let's talk about it. My thing is to help them in any way, because they're helping ourselves and they're helping our athletes. So please contact me. I'll do, you know, help you any way I can.
And I imagine your flooring can obviously take on the heat of dropping weights all over it and all that kind of stuff all the time.
It's made for that. Look, it's like I told you before, if I've got a kid that I'm coaching, that first thing I'm trying to do is not so much what I give him. It's a lot of the bad habits that he's doing to take away from those take those habits away. Got to put him in the right posture, the right position, and everything he's doing. Teach him the correct way, but get rid of the negatives. And that way, that he never does that again. And we can do that. That's a start. And what we've done in Mondo is to take away some negatives we've had and just find to help that coach. But yeah, our thing is built for dropping weights. That's what we did, dropping the weights.
Sounds good. Coach Ethan Reeve, he is a longtime wrestling coach, strength and conditioning professional. He did sports performance coaching at the grade school, high school, and collegiate levels. He's been around, folks, and unfortunately, time flies, but we're having fun. This interview went pretty quick, and we're going to have you back, Coach.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ed. I appreciate what you're doing. Is you're helping a lot of coaches by doing this. So I really appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, I imagine you might be down at the CSCCA convention this year in Fort Worth.
Yes. I'll be there. You going to be there?
Yeah. And also, I'm sure, you know, a lot of the collegiate and high school coaches that are going to be attending that will be able to bump into you down there on the show rhythm or walking the hall.
Tell them to come down to the booth. We'll go into the lab, the teaching lab. Anything we can do to help them in any way we can, just send them our way. We'll have a booth. All right?
Well, there it is. Ethan Reeve, strength and conditioning professional. Ethan, thanks for joining us with this ASAP Athletic Strength and Power podcast. It was recorded live from Cincinnati, Ohio and Chattanooga, Tennessee.